You're listening to The Beauty of Our Weapons by M. Darusha Wehm. For more information, go to darusha.ca/weapons. Prologue. Jeffy Wyatt was not in the mood to go to work. He was one of the lucky ones. He actually liked his job. Usually, he was perfectly happy to find a comfy spot on the couch in his tiny apartment, settle in, and unfocus his eyes. His implanted connection to the Everywhere Net allowed him online access anywhere, everywhere, without any additional hardware. He just thought about what he wanted to do, and he saw the screen overlaid on his vision. Jeffy's implants weren't unusual. He didn't know anyone without the implants. You couldn't get any job without them, and he wasn't sure how you'd even be able to find your way around. He'd only ever seen a paper map in a museum, and to be honest, it was a reproduction of a map in a virtual museum, but it was still the closest he'd ever come to seeing one. Jeffy went online and logged into M-City, and felt his virtual body materializing outside the door to his unimaginatively named shop, Discount Personalized Sex Bots. Jeffy designed individually tailored bot avatars for virtual sex, which were, frankly, cheap in all meanings of the word. But enough people liked them that he made enough money to be able to afford a private apartment, which meant that this was his full-time job. This was unusual, and Jeffy was mostly quite thankful for his good fortune. But this morning, he just didn't have any excitement for the sexbot business. He didn't want to deal with the clients, didn't want to talk up the various options available on the models, didn't want to code the product. He just wanted to sleep and try to forget. He'd known for weeks that his relationship with Vonnie wasn't going anywhere good, but he still wasn't ready for the drama that happened the previous night. 2 hours of screaming was a record even for him, and he had terrible luck with breakups. His head still hurt in the morning, and work didn't feel like a great distraction. But when you're self-employed, the boss is a real ball-breaker, and there are no sick days. So Jeffy flopped on the couch and logged into M-City. What he saw when he rezzed into the virtual street where his shop was located was actually enough to make him forget about Vonnie completely. Too bad it was a million times worse than just a bad breakup. "Why did this have to happen to me?" Jeffy whined. Rene Biagini patted his friend on the hand and flicked a finger up to the waiter for another glass of synth wine. "Can you tell me exactly what was done?" Biagini asked, setting his system to record the conversation. He didn't really think he'd be able to find whoever vandalized his friend's store, but he'd promised to try, so he had to put a little effort in. "Do you have a recording of the instantiation?" Jeffy nodded. "I record every workday. Prevents a lot of disputes over price quotes." "Good," Rene said. "Send me the vid." The wine arrived, and Rene felt a download drop into his system. "You drink this," he said, handing Jeffy a large glass of red. "Will I look at it, okay?" Jeffy sniffled and nodded, sipping the wine. The vid showed a blurry image of Jeffy's storefront as it materialized in front of his vision. Rene had visited it more than a few times, and expected to see the familiar yellow and orange sign over the green portal door. Instead, there was a disturbing electrical buzzing sound, and the door was distorted and pixelated. It did not look safe to enter, but Jeffy must have gone in anyway, as the vid's point of view moved through the portal and into what should have been the small shop. From his previous visits, Rene recalled that Jeffy would have had 2 or 3 of his models out and available to interact with walk-in clientele. There was even a small cubicle where the clients could try before they'd buy. In the vid, the walls of the cubicle appeared to be slashed, and the 2 models, it looked like Mintra and Ulu to Rene, were cut into pieces and lying on the floor. There was no blood or gore, but Rene couldn't shake the disturbing feeling that he was looking at a murder scene. He understood now why Jeffy was so upset. "I'm sorry," he said, and reached out for his friend's hand again. "That's just horrible." Jeffy nodded. "I checked all the code," he said, putting down the half-empty wine glass. "It's all still there, and the links are fine. I don't know how anyone cracked into my private disk space, but I reset all my passwords and tokens. I can fix the door in a few hours, and I'm pretty sure I can repair the boys and girls, too." He looked at Rene. "It's just the sense of violation, you know?" "Of course," Rene said, "not to mention the lost business." Jeffy shrugged. "If I'm closed for a couple of days, I can manage. But I just don't feel safe anymore. If I lost the shop, I don't know what I'd do. I wouldn't be able to pay my rent, and I've been without a regular job for a year. I'd never get anything over level 2 now. I'd have to start over from scratch. Jeffy looked like he was going to start crying again, so Renee patted his friend on the shoulder. "Don't think like that," he said. "If whoever it was wanted to destroy your shop, they could have done a lot worse. It was probably just kids or some fucked up stimhead. You'll get over it, Jeffy. It was just pixels and code, after all." "This time it's just pixels and code," Jeffy said. "Next time it could be my whole livelihood." "There won't be a next time," Renee said. But he didn't know how he could promise that. He ordered 2 more glasses of wine and turned on the Biagini charm. If he couldn't fix Jeffy's problems, the least he could do was help his friend forget them.